You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
Now turn our hearts towards hearing the word of the Lord, and Pastor Bill is going to come and preach to us. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians today, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. The Apostle Paul writes, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." This is God's word.
Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Dave said I'm going to preach to you this morning, and I am going to do that. But this time today is not so much that I'm going to preach a sermon with just a scripture and some points, but I really want to just talk to you this morning. I want to spend a few minutes just talking to you. I want to take this time this morning for this to be really a pastoral care moment for us. And I want to talk to you individually, but I want to talk to us corporately as well here this morning. And I really have been wrestling with how to talk to you about this subject because it is something that keeps coming up. It's almost like overwhelmed has been the buzzword in Life Church for several months. Where there are a number of people who are saying, "Pastor Bill, I am just really maxed out. I'm fried. I'm overwhelmed. I have more than I can handle, more than I can do. There are more things coming in on my life than I can handle right now. There's more expectations that have been placed upon me. I'm working more hours and having to do more work and just one thing after another." And so it's like, there seems to be this pattern in a lot of our lives where we are really walking in this place of being greatly overwhelmed and not really knowing what to do with it. And I'm not standing up here to say I'm the end word here and I've got the answer for you, but I would like to begin the process of trying to work through this with you and all of us coming to some conclusions, setting some goals in our lives and moving in a direction where we are overcomers. We're not overwhelmed, but we actually overcome. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit here. And I think this is a great Sunday to do it. It's Labor Day weekend. And I realize that some of you want to get out to Lifelight. Some of you got some other events you want to get to. Some of the ladies told me that we have full classes over there on the other side with children. So, Pastor Bill, could you please not be too long today? You know, those kinds of things. Hey, you know me, all right? I'm good with this, okay? So I'm going to try to be rather brief, but I really wanted to take this time today to talk about this because I also believe that not only are a lot of our lives overwhelmed, I mean, some of you are talking to me about you're working 10 and 12-hour days. And, you know, I mean, some of you, you're accustomed to some of this kind of stuff, but with everything else that's going on right now, it just seems like a whole lot for you. We're going through this remodel with the church and planning a move and a lot of transitions and changes, and we've talked about that, and we've over-talked about that, and you got it. I mean, you know where we are. You know we're going to transition. You're ready. You're as ready as I am. Sorry, I told you all the 11th and we were going to do that, whatever. I mean, basically, I lied to you last week, so I repent and apologize that I lied to you, and I lied so dramatically and so adamantly, you know. I mean, if I'm going to lie, I'm going to go all the way, okay? So I really lied to you last week, all right? I apologize. I repent of that. My heart is clear. I'm open now to whatever God has to do for us, and we're going to go forward with that. You know, but all of that's on us. It's out there. It's looming around us. Some of you have started back to school. Now, you didn't get the classes you wanted. I mean, I'm hearing all this stuff from you. Some of you, you're looking and facing some life changes that are super, super dramatic for you. Maybe good, but yet still very, very dramatic. So there's like all this stuff is happening to all these people in Life Church, and we can't be ignorant to the reality that that is affecting us corporately. that is affecting us in a lot of different ways. Some of you have some health issues that have been astronomical over the last 6 months to a year. It's affecting you. And today is Labor Day. I mean, today is a day, and this is sort of like an exposing of us as a culture. Today is the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, and Labor Day, since like 1894, has been celebrated by Americans and Canadians as well, but by Americans, with the intent that we honor the working man and woman of America. And the intent of this weekend from the beginning was to celebrate. It was to take a weekend, add a day to it, and allow this opportunity for everyone before they kind of hit running again life in the fall of the year to rest. And what do you see most people doing Labor Day? You doggone right. I mean, we are cleaning windows, getting the driveway edged, washing the cars, cleaning out the basement, doing whatever else we can do because we're like, all right, great, I got one more free day here, and I need to get all this stuff done because I got to get that done to be able to feel good about going into the fall of the year. And it's terrible because we took something that was meant to give us rest and to celebrate the freedoms that we have to work and earn a living and enjoy a life here in this wonderful nation we call America, and we have skewed it culturally to the point that it drives us now to just work our behinds off until we get a few more things accomplished. And you know what? At the end of Labor Day weekend, we're tired, exhausted, and we still don't have everything done that we wanted to get done. And we're going in literally in a sense, in our own minds, of a deficit. I'm still short. I still haven't got everything done. And there is just nothing open or there's no margin in our lives to be able to let God use us in powerful ways because we're so driven by the circumstance that we are in and we're feeling like we're in a dark hole and we're getting covered up. This overwhelmed sense is something that it's like a low-grade temperature. It's like a low cloud that just hangs over us and causes this kind of heaviness and tiredness and we're dreary and all of that. Are you relating to that at all with me today? I'm going off of what I'm hearing from you here and what I'm experiencing in my own life. I have for the last number of months, David as well, and we've talked about this in dialogue, that even in our family life and in church life and just in our physical bodies, we feel this. We feel this kind of heaviness in us. And I don't believe it's all just cultural, and I don't believe it's all just because we're all like hyper-driven, overproductive, high-performance people. I think it's because the enemy has also gotten into this thing. And the enemy is at work trying to keep us in this sort of vagueness of being overwhelmed in such a way that we are convincing ourselves that we can't do anymore. We can't say yes to God for the big things that God has out there in front of us. And really, guys, I don't want you and I going into a new building and a new facility in this kind of state where we're not able to enjoy God and his presence and what he is opening up before us in the neighborhood to share his gospel with people who need him, and that we're doing that in a very tired and drained kind of existence. I really believe God has a joy for us as a church, and I don't believe we have it to the place that God wants us to, all right? I'm being really honest with you this morning. I'm talking to you very pastoral, and this is for your care. This is for your good. This is for the good of us as a body of believers, okay? I want you to have such excitement and such joy of God. I want the spirit of joy to be upon us. And not because I have an agenda or because I think that we have to do a certain thing or go a certain direction here. I'm willing to, like, at this point, David and I both, we're willing to, like, step back and say, okay, God, we'll just wait on you. What do you need to do in all of us? Where do you need to get us to spiritually? Where do you need to get us emotionally? Where do you need to get us physically? All right? What do you need to do to get us ready for us to be able to release some of this heaviness, this spirit of heaviness, so that we can receive the spirit of joy and we can go forth in celebration of God and his goodness, all right? And so that we're not feeling as though I'm already in a deficit. Please, I'm going to avoid Pastor Bill Sunday because I don't want him to ask me to do anything else because I am maxed out. Hey, I would like to avoid me right now, okay? I'm putting more on me than I can handle. And I don't want to put more on you than you can handle. But here's the thing. I think we can handle the things that God has for us, but I think some things are skewed here, and I think the enemy's afoot and trying to keep us from being effective for what we need to do. So if I could, for just a few minutes, can I just talk to you about the whole idea of being overwhelmed and maybe some things we can look at, and I want to give you basically five things that I would like for you to look at and consider this morning. This passage that David read to you, I mean, Paul here is like, he's laying something out here. You know, we have this treasure. We are these earthen vessels, all right? We want the power of God working through us, don't we? But he says, he admits, he says, we're hard-pressed on every side. We're not crushed, but we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted. We're not forsaken. We're struck down. We're not destroyed. I mean, he counters all of these positions or all of these conditions, but at the same time, he's confessing them. And here's what I think we do. We confess a lot of these things. We identify with this stuff, you know. Yeah, I'm hard-pressed. Yeah, I am crushed. Man, I'm perplexed about everything. I feel persecuted. I feel struck down. But we don't counter those thoughts in our minds very well. And so what we do is we buy in to the condition without declaring the remedy. And so we choose to live in that state that we identify, without appropriating the grace and the goodness and the strength and the power of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection, so that we can live abundantly and joyfully in the things of God. And so I want us to look at this a little bit, and I want to take another scripture and just kind of lay it in your heart this morning, because I think it's important for us, and that is this. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for that's the source of life. Out of your heart comes life. And this is where I want you and I to land this morning, is in this place of guarding our own hearts. And I want to ask you, honestly, how do you do that? How are you guarding your heart? How are you holding your heart in this season of life? What are you doing to protect that wellspring of life? What are you doing to place the greatest value where it needs to be, all right? Some of you are protecting your calendar. By the way, I didn't realize how impacting last week's sermon would be to you on time, but some of you, it really like knocked your socks off. Well, that was God. That wasn't me. I just gave you what I felt like God was talking about, and we'll reference a little bit of that this morning here quickly. But this whole thing of time and the idea of understanding the difference between Kairos and Chronos time and how we respond to God and opportunity, it really is a powerful thing. But I believe that guarding our heart is way more valuable than guarding our calendar. And that was what some of you said to me after the message on Sunday. It was like, I just realized the value that I put on my calendar. I just realized how I am driven and held captive, held prisoner by my calendar. Some of you said, I hate my calendar after that sermon. Like, I hate even going to it and looking at it because I realized how powerful that calendar screams at me. Someone said, it's like I go to bed at night and that's the last thing I think about is what's on my calendar. And when I get up in the morning, that's the first thing that's on my mind is what's on my calendar. And I'm missing some time with God because of that, because we're driven by time and by the calendar. So I want to ask you this morning, how do you guard your heart? How do you let God cover you? How do you let God protect you and your heart in this place? Here's some things I'd like for you to consider this morning, and I won't take a long time with this. How do you be present to the moment you're in? This would be a question I would ask you today. How are you present to the moment that you're in? Because I think this is one way that you will need to guard your heart, all right? And I know that that sounds like a catchphrase, and that's something that people use in retreats and in therapy sessions and all that kind of stuff. But Mark Buchanan's written a great book entitled Sabbath, The Rest of God. And it is a wonderful, wonderful book for you to read. I gave it to Pastor Dave years ago, and when Pastor Daniel was on staff with us, I gave it to them because I felt that we really were missing this whole concept of Sabbath and Sabbath rest. But he in that book, he talks about this thing that we talked about last week, and he says that the Greeks understood time in those two different terms of chronos and kairos. And he says that chronos time, you know, that calendar time, that is actually depicted in mythological beings that carry the same name. And those beings are described as consuming everything in the sense of devouring it. Those mythological creatures that are called by that name, Kronos, they actually were depicted as devouring even their children, if you will, all right? And so what I want us to understand is that if we live in that realm of time alone, that time, that calendar, it is going to devour everything always, all right? Because we're always going to be looking at this idea of what time is it, or what do I need to be doing, or what have I not done, or what did I miss, and things like that. I honestly, guys, I have lived hours of days of my life with this angst, with this upset feeling in my stomach going, okay, what am I missing? What am I missing? That is the primary thought in my mind is, what am I missing? And not understanding that what I'm really missing is absolutely essential, and that is the presence of God, or being present to God, because I'm scared of what I might be missing that's on my calendar that I've committed myself to or overcommitted myself to in some way. And so what I'm talking about here is being present in the moment in a way of thinking that is good for the heart, all right? Being present in the moment means that I give the best I have to those I'm with at that moment. There was a while back that Pastor Dave and I sometimes do counseling together, and we enjoy doing that together. But one day we were doing a session with someone. Someone just came in, and we sat down with them. We were talking to them. But I just continued on my computer and was doing things on my computer as I am talking to this person and talking with Pastor Dave. And after that person left, Pastor Dave asked me about that. You know, he just had some questions about, you know, how busy are you? And I just noticed that you were, you know, you stayed on your computer while we were with this person. And I was deeply convicted in that moment. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't have enough presence to this person to give them the time and the attention that they needed. I was multitasking while I'm trying to give pastoral care to someone. Well, how awful is that? I mean, that's like the bottom. It's like, God, I've reached a low place here. What in the world am I? And it shocked me back to this reality that, hey, wait a minute, something is out of sync here. But how many times do we do that? And I'm not just talking about in the places where you have ministry going on and or someone comes to you and says, can I talk to you or could you pray with me, and being distracted in those places. But I'm talking about, how about husbands and wives? Are you really present to one another? Is there enough of a deposit in your life towards each other where you are giving to one another what each other needs as a husband and wife? Or have you both set your calendar to the degree and the dimensions that there is no time for one another? And also, would you take it a step further? And those of you who are parents, whether you are a single parent or a couple married with children, or maybe you're a grandparent and you have a child that you're taking care of and responsible for, are you being present to that child in such a way as to bring God into their lives and to minister the presence of God to them? And here's the deal, folks. If I have not spent time with God and I have not been in God's presence, I can't bring the presence of God to you. I can't. Here's the deal. For all of us, I can't, you can't, we can't give somebody something we don't have. If we don't possess it, we can't give it. And if we're in a deficit, it's going to take a while for us to actually get it to the magnitude that we can give it. Because if we're running on a deficit, we have created a high need condition for ourselves. So I ask you this morning, how many of you have spent time in the presence of God this week or this month or this summer? I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm not talking about going to a concert. I'm not talking about being in a Bible study. I'm talking about you alone, present to God, where you have created moments, if you will, of time where you are in the presence of God. And I hear some of the angst we have. We struggle with this because sometimes we just, it's like, I don't feel God. When I tried it and I didn't feel God. It's really not about feeling. Please understand that. It's really not about feeling. It's about a sense of devotion to the God of heaven who created you. And here's the problem. There have been, I'm going to put it on a different level here. There have been like weeks where my wife and I did not spend very much time together, if any at all. I mean, we passed like ships in the night, you know. I mean, literally, there have been days when my wife was driving into the garage and I was driving out, and we both went. Because we both knew that we had engagements and we had timelines and we weren't going to get to see each other, you know. And there have been weeks where one of us made a meal and we just left it on the table for the other because we knew the other wasn't getting in till late, but we had to go, so we weren't going to eat a meal together, things like that. But here's the deal about that. Okay, when we do find that time to get together, do you know that there's this window of that time where we have to re-accommodate ourselves to each other? Like, we don't just walk in and it's like we just pick up and we're just like loving and intimate and happy and joyous. We're bringing stuff in because we're tired and we're heavy and we're burdened and all of this kind of stuff. And so we don't actually have all of that time that we thought we would have with each other. We've got to reacclimate ourselves to one another. And I'm afraid that we're doing that not only with our spouses and with our children, but we're doing that with other relationships as well. And a lot of times we're just tabling relationships because we just don't have the time for them anymore. And it's not like we're in conflict. It's not like King David when he said, oh, there was a time when we walked together to the house of the Lord, but no more. He's talking about there was a conflict and there was a separation and all that. Folks, you don't have to worry about getting mad with people. You don't have time. We just aren't with each other because we are not living in the moment. We don't have a good sense of kairos. We don't have a good sense of opportunity. When God brings us together with someone and we connect with them by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are not discerning that. We're not in the spirit enough to discern that because we have been so driven by the busyness of our calendar and we miss those unique, wonderful opportunities that God is bringing our way. And that, my friend, is a loss. That is a loss. So I want to ask you this morning, how are you doing with being present to the moment, being in that kairos kind of moment with God and with others, and seeing how that God might be at work in that, okay? Here's the second thing. Are you able to know and communicate your limitations? This one sounds pretty simplistic, but most people don't do it. And I'm just wondering about us. Are we overcommitting our lives right now? Are we saying yes to more than we should be saying yes to? And are we not saying no enough? Let me free you up, okay? Let me give you an act of deliverance right now. In the name of Jesus, no is a very anointed word. Use it. It works. And it doesn't have to be mean, and it doesn't have to be ugly, and it's not a point of rejection. It is something that you need to learn how to use in the proper balance and scheme of life to be able to step back from things that are not yours. They were never meant to be. And you got to start to understand yourself. Are you insecure? Do you suffer from rejection? Can you be honest with God about these particular kinds of areas of your life and look at them with God and in the light of the Holy Spirit and let God show you that, hey, this is a weakness of mine. I'm a people pleaser. I really want everybody to be happy with me. And so it's really hard for me to say no. Well, get with a brother or sister and start praying into this area. Let God bring some healing to you so that you're able to be healthy in your negotiating and setting of your boundaries, and you have balance in your life. One of the worst things that we can do as Christians, and David and I felt that this week, you know, we've tried to hire Christians in this remodel, and we're doing that, you know, but once in a while we come across someone who is working with us, and they overpromise and underdeliver, and it puts us in a spot, in a jam, because we're on a timeline. And I have to go back and say, okay, God, it's not for me to judge that person. I don't know what's going on in their life and why they're at this place, but I'm going to pray for them that you help them because they obviously have some need in their life right now. But more than that, God, show me where I'm guilty. Where have I overpromised and underdelivered? Where have I said yes to something when I knew I couldn't do it? Only because I wanted someone to be happy with me, or I wanted to please someone in some way or something like that. Folks, I don't like it when any of you don't like me. It eats me alive. All right? I want to please you. I want to make you happy. So when I have to address sin issues from the pulpit, that's my worst Sunday of the year. I just hate it. Because I know I'm going to tick somebody off. Somebody in the, well, you know what the reality is, let's be honest, probably most Sundays I tick somebody off, you know, come on, yeah, but that's not my chief goal, and I think for most of you, that's not your chief goal. You want to be a people pleaser, you want to make people happy, you want to minister to people, you want to help people, you want to love people, and you got two crazy pastors who are saying, we're going to disciple you so that you can disciple others, and you get out there and do the work of the kingdom, and we're about doing and doing and doing and doing, and so you're walking out of here going, oh my God, I got to do something, you know. But can we look at our lives and understand our own limitations and communicate those well with each other and allow ourselves to be okay in the presence of God when we have said no to some things? And here's where I'm getting at, and here's where it's become so important for you. If you're saying yes to those things that you need to say no to, when I come to you and ask you to join in the vision of Life Church and do those things that we know God has called us to do, you won't have the time and the opportunity and the privilege to do those things because you're already overcommitted to the things you never should have committed to in the first place. And so we learn and develop the spirit of discernment, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can discern what are those things that we need to do. Jesus said, I only do what the Father says. And I dare say there were opportunities for Jesus to do other things, but he stayed focused on what is the will of the Father. So if we stay present to God and we have a connection with God that is intimate and prayerful, then we'll be able to discern and know what is the perfect and pleasing will of the Father. And this will allow us to say no to those things that we don't need to be doing. Now, here's the third one. I'm going like this, okay? And number three is at the top. This is the sort of the climactic piece right here, okay? I believe this one is more important than any of the others, all right? Are you maintaining a practice in your life of personal spiritual disciplines. Now I'm going to expose us, starting with the pastors. Sorry, David. He and I have been confessing. We confess all the time. Don't we? I mean, you know, pastors are really sinful people. We have to confess a lot. We're just constantly confessing to each other, you know. But part of our sort of acknowledgement and confession right now is that we are not where we want to be in prayer. We're not where we want to be in practicing the presence of the Lord. We're not where we want to be in the power of the Holy Spirit working through our lives. Okay? And here's the thing. I've been talking to a lot of you, and when I talk to you one-on-one, I ask you pointed questions sometimes. And those of you who I have asked about this area of prayer, especially prayer and fasting, it's not happening in Life Church. And some of you, yeah, I mean, you all know who you are. I'm not going to name names, of course, other than mine and David's. But some of you have confessed to me that not only are you not fasting, there's no fast in your life in any area, but really, if you are praying at all, a lot of that prayer is very just religious prayer. It's just perfunctory. It's duty-laden prayer. Prayer shouldn't be that way. Yeah, we need to be disciplined. We need to pray in a disciplined kind of way. But prayer needs to be real. It needs to be vital. It needs to make that connection and engage with God and with the Holy Spirit. And so prayer shouldn't always be done just to say, okay, I did my Our Father, and I'm done, and I can go on. God never intended it to be that way. The church never intended it to be that way. All right? Prayer is intended to give you that intimate connection with your Heavenly Father, with the Creator God, so that you are capable of flourishing. The life is in your relationship. You are connected to the vine. And if you're not, you're a dead branch. We have to have that connection. And some of you, praise the Lord, you're carrying us. Thank God. You know, there's a few of you in here, and you're praying like crazy people. And you're passionate, and you're carrying Life Church, and you're carrying your pastors, and you're carrying your brothers and sisters, and thank God for you. And I'm thrilled to have you holding my arms up. That is great. But I'm saying, without being a Debbie Downer here, this is an area where I don't know what to say to you right now. If we don't pray, why are we doing all this other stuff? If we're not connected to the vine, if we're not tapped into the Father, why are we doing this? Why are we here? What are we doing? We have to. Don't wait until you get your life straightened out to pray. Okay? You don't have to be perfect to pray. Matter of fact, I think you'll pray better if you get in touch with your imperfection. So quit trying. Quit trying to perform good enough for God to get into His presence. Just come boldly to the throne room of grace. Just get in there and begin to pray and begin to seek God. Could we as a body renew our commitment to personal prayer and devotion to Scripture so that these become huge priorities in all of us? And can we begin to ask each other the hard questions and hold each other accountable in this area? And pray for David and I, because we're committing to ourselves that we're going to lead in this area. And so there may be a day when you call here or drop by and there's no car here and we're not answering even the emergency number. Well, we're going to be at Inspiration Hills on our face before God praying. And we can't pray on Monday mornings for all of you in our intercessory time when we pray for all of you very well if we haven't spent time ourselves before God so that God can speak into our hearts the things that he needs to speak to us. So we got to be on top of this. But we believe you got to be on top of this. All right? He and I praying for you on Monday morning is not going to carry you. You are not going to live a victorious, overcoming life without prayer and without time in the Word. So how is your practice of personal spiritual disciplines? The fourth one I won't spend a lot of time on, but I do want to hit it, and I think it's important. It's a much more practical one, but that is this. How are you maintaining the disciplines in your life that are necessary for you to be healthy? And by that, I mean diet, exercise, and rest. What are you doing? Stress is detrimental to your health. Being overwhelmed, folks, there are statistics that show if you live way overwhelmed constantly for an extended period of time, it will shorten your life. It will increase your weight. It will cause nervousness and anxiety, and you will be prone to other degenerative diseases if you don't get a handle on this thing. God never intended for you to live in an overwhelmed existence. He never intended for you to live in a worry and fretful place. Everything that God speaks to us about these areas of our life is to fear not, to not be afraid, to cast your cares on him, to overcome these places. Think on the good things. Live an overcomer's life. And so when Elijah fled from the mountain and he was exhausted, he was so worn out that he wanted to die. I mean, I'm not going to say I've been that close, okay? But I was in someone's home this week, and this came out of my mouth. This is, I don't know why I said it, but I said it. But this guy, he lovely guy, and he was trying to encourage me. And he goes, Pastor Bill, how are you? And Andrew was there. I hope you didn't hear what I said to him. I looked at him. I don't even know this guy very well. I just know him. And we have mutual friends, and he was just trying to encourage me. And he had this big smile on his face. And I called him by name, and I said, you know what? Right now, I could lay down on your kitchen floor and go to sleep and drool right here and not care if anybody saw me. And then I realized what came out of my mouth. And I was like, oh, my Lord Jesus, help me. What does he think of Life Church? But I went to that meeting exhausted. I went to that meeting so tired, and I was fighting yawning because all of the other things that were coming in on my life. And I left there going, God, this is not the way I want to be. I walked out of those people's house towards the car, and I'm holding my backpack in my arms like a baby for some reason. I just needed something to hug. I wanted someone to hug me, you know. But I'm just there, and I'm like, man, I don't want to be like this, God. I don't want to live like this. This isn't what you have for your people. We're entitled to more than this. We have promises, God. Where are you? Where am I? You know, and I realize that I'm not getting the sleep I need. My exercise has gone down the tube. I'm pretty sure Andrew's going to beat me in that marathon in Berlin in a couple of weeks, and I'm really just, I hate that. I intended to show him up. You know, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not at my peak. And you know what I'm hearing from a lot of you? You come in here, and you tell me the same kind of thing. Your story's a little different. Your vocabulary may be a little bit different, but the theme is the same. It's running through our lives. It's actually weaving us all together. But this is not a good blanket, all right? This is not a good cover for us. We need to throw this wet blanket off of us and become the people of God that he wants us to be. And I just want to close and come right back to that the very thing that I began with, and that is Proverbs 4:23. Are you guarding your heart above all else? It is the source of life. And here's why. Folks, when we are feeling overwhelmed, when we are the most, or at least more vulnerable, that's when temptation is its most powerful. That's when the enemy gets more than a foothold. That's when he starts to pull you out from among the people. And you know what? Watch yourself. When you're overwhelmed, when you're tired, when life is hard for you, what do? You back away. You separate yourself. You move. People come to me and they go, Pastor, I'm sorry I wasn't in church on Sunday, but man, it's just been a hard week and I've just been feeling really overwhelmed and there's so much going on and I just felt like I just needed the time alone. No, you don't. The enemy is telling you that. You need to come into the body. You need to come in around some people. You need to make sure there's some people around you who are looking at your backside and they are helping you to hold on there. It is crucial that you guard your heart when evil emerges. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, Matthew 15 says, and other things as well. And so it's absolutely essential, crucial, that we are guarding the flow of this wellspring of life. And I believe that the way we guard that is to create some sense of margin in our lives, create some room to breathe, to take Sabbath, to spend time with God. So each of us, when we feel overwhelmed with our lives and the circumstances are very different for us, we need to come to this place of margin. What I mean by that is, I mean, margin is that space that once existed between ourselves and our limits. And here's the problem. We're living at the limit, or we're dangling off the cliff already. And the last thing I want for any of you is a fall. And that's why I had to bring this message to you today. That's why I had to talk to you this way today. I care about you so much, and I don't want to see any of you falling. And we're all vulnerable. We're all susceptible to temptations. But I believe that God wants to do something in our lives. Dr. Richard Swenson wrote a book called Margin. And what he's talking about restoring the emotional, the physical, the financial, and the time reserves that we need when we live overloaded lives. And that means you don't fill up your chronos. You leave windows open for kairos, for time with God and for opportunity, and for the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life. We learn how to say no to some things and we pare down. Honestly, do you need to do everything you're doing in your life? Do you need to fill your life up so much with activities and things? Don't even let us do that to you. Okay? So let's create some margin so that when we get to the end, there's a little room there and we'll be okay. And when something caves in on us or comes in or cuts in on us, we actually have a little bit of time. We actually have a little bit of place in our heart and in our mind where we can grab a hold of that and accommodate it rather than it pushing something else out and we stay in that deficit place. Because you know what? If you're in a deficit in time, if you're in a deficit in your physical body, if you're in a deficit in your emotions, you're going to be in a deficit spiritually too if you're not careful. And it's going to happen quick. I love you this morning. I want you to be free in this area, and I don't want you to live a life that is overwhelmed. I want to pray for you. I believe that it's very important to confess, all right? I believe confession is good for the soul, and I'm not going to ask you to go into detail about your confession, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you identify with me and what I'm saying, I'm going to ask you just to get up and walk down here and stand with me and let me pray for you, all right? I just want you to be able to say in your heart today, I'm in that place on some level, and I know it, and I'm open to what God wants to do to help me shift and change my life so that I am living victorious and I'm not bound in an overwhelmed lifestyle. And that's all you're going to do. By coming down here, you're confessing openly to your brothers and sisters, and you're able to encourage one another and help one another and pray for one another in that. But I want to pray over you when you're here, okay? So would you come? Would you join me down here? Join with me. I'm identifying with this place. I'm telling you, I'm one of these. And as you're coming, let me say this to you. if you're one of those people, you sit here and you go, Pastor, you don't know it, others don't know it, but I already fell off the cliff. Let me tell you something. There's no condemnation in Jesus. There's redemption. This is what the resurrection is all about. When a brother falls, he gets up. It's terrible for the brother who doesn't have anyone when he falls in the ditch. We're here for one another. We're here to pick each other up. So if you're in that place, don't let that secret hold you down in a ditch somewhere. Find somebody in this body. Or come to Pastor Dave and I. We're not going to condemn you. We're going to try to help you find a way out. And we're going to take you back to the cross, because that's where we're all going anyway. That's where we're at today. That's my only answer for you, really. I've talked to you pastorally as a sage and a pastoral father today. I'm speaking to you these things. But the reality is, the only answer I have for you is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And all the rest of this stuff really is really lifestyle stuff. All right? So we're all there together, okay? If you're sitting out there and you're saying, I haven't even started there yet. I don't know this Jesus. You can know him. You can come up here and join us right now. And you can receive this Jesus and his forgiveness and grace today. And he can free you up from the bondage of sin and allow you to start on this pathway of freedom. So if you will, let me just pray for you right now, okay? And we'll be done for the day, all right? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, your Son. There is no other power on the face of this earth that we would declare. There are no other answers, there are no other places to go but to the throne of God. Father, you sent your Son to die for our sins and to release us from the penalty of that sin, to restore us to a place of wholeness and righteousness and purity before you. You lifted the burden of sin so that we might have freedom in you. And God, you've told us that it is not for us to go back into bondage in any manner, any form, any shape. And so today I pray for your people, God, for the release from the bondage that the enemy has tried to put on each of them, whether that's time, our circumstances, our emotional wounds, our physical struggles, our financial problems, or whatever the enemy is using to overwhelm their lives right now and keep them bound or paralyzed from being free in you. I ask you, Father, break that yoke in the name of Jesus this morning and release your people into the power of the freedom that you have given them through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. God, let us begin to live and to move and have our being in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let your word, Lord, have preeminence in our mind, and let us be able to take captive those thoughts that are setting themselves up contrary to your word and your promise for us. God, help us to be released from those things that are robbing us of the time necessary to spend with you. God, help us that we become fully spiritual creatures who are taking time to develop intimacy with you and allowing you by your Spirit to pour yourself into us, change us, and transform us into the people of God you would have us to be, in order that we might be faithful and holy in God. Father, I just pray that you deliver us from trying to save ourselves and from trying to make ourselves holy and from trying to perform enough to please you or make you happy. God, lift that spirit of rejection off of us. Lift that performance orientation off of us, God. Lift all of those things that get in the way of you, all those obstacles that the enemy has been able to root in our hearts, God. We ask you to uproot that and give us a clean heart, O God, and renew in us a right spirit towards you and towards one another and towards the world. God, help us open our eyes today to see you high and lifted up. And may your glory fill our lives. And may our lives purposefully and intentionally fulfill your will in this earth. God, do this for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you, people.